Blog Talk Radio.
February 18th, 2013. I'm your host, Tom Riddell, along with Robin Eduardo. She'll be along with us shortly. Brief intro to today's show. We have a special show. Of course, they're all fun and they're all special, but this one is a little different, and it's called Seven Authors. And we will have on seven authors. Boy, doesn't that make sense? And you can find us over at the Writer's Lounge blog over at tomriddell.com/blog. Go on over there, look at all the reviews that I've written, and in the upper left-hand corner of that page, you will be able to click on the Blog Talk Radio player and listen to our shows. So head on over there, have a look, and see what you can find there. There's a lot of good reading over there. Also, of course, you can find us on Facebook. We are The Writer's Lounge, and we're also on Twitter. So find us over there, and please follow us. You can also contact us the old-fashioned way at TWL11@yahoo.com. And our upcoming authors coming on next time around on March 4th, we'll have on Dawn Whidden, and she wrote a book called A Child is Torn, Innocence Lost, and it's a very interesting story about a young man who is involved in a murder of his parents, so you want to stay tuned for that. And then, and I have an early plug for this, and it'll be up on the blog. Also, it won't be on the blog, but will be reviewed on the blog. But we will be promoting it on the Facebook page on March 18th. Mark your calendars for this one, folks, because this is a real doozy. The name of the author is Jane McCormick, and she will be on with a book called Breaking My Silence, Confessions of a Rat Pack Party Girl and Sex Trade Survivor. And if you don't know who the Rat Pack is, go on over to Google and Google it. All of you old timers out there, along with me and I suppose Robin, although I don't think of her as being old, but have a look and you'll know Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, and all those other guys back in that era, back in the 60s. And she'll be on in studio here in Maplewood, Minnesota on March 18th to talk about her experiences. And I do mean experiences with those gentlemen. So it'll be a very interesting show, and I hope you will be here for that. Also, Magic Pen Web Design offers its clients a simple, effective, and affordable approach to website design development. Magic Pen Web Design promises that your website will be simple in content and easy to navigate, while also delivering an effective, eye-popping design that will attract an interest to the books you write, along with the other products or services that you offer. Magic Pen Web Design promises to work with you and to explore an option package that will be the most affordable to you. Head on over to magicpenwebdesign.com, fill out the free estimate, and let us help you. And now, as always, introducing my fabulous co-host, Robin Eduardo. How are you, Robin?
Pretty good. I don't know about fabulous, but I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah. Wait, a little down tonight or what? What's going on?
No. It's just, I guess because it's winter time and things are quiet and things are slowing down, you know. And it's just been a long...
The cabin fever, probably.
I think
all the Minnesota.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ready for spring.
Yes, yes, looking forward to it. But I'm looking forward to this show, you know, all the authors and what they have to say about their books. So it's going to be an interesting topic tonight, I think.
It's going to be fun. In fact, I should probably go through the names of the authors. And please forgive me if I chop them up here. We'll start with the first one to the last one. It'll be Aditi Chopra. She wrote a book called Lost in London. Then along comes Scott Craig, Inhale and the Hooten Hare. Then next comes D.E. Phoenix with Revelations of the Fallen. Then Larry Higdon joins us with Storms of Deliverance. Then it's Eddie Upnick with a time travel trilogy called Time Will Tell, Future Tense and 2052. Then Shawanda Garner with Crimson Footprints 1 and 2. And then finally, Rhett Barbary with Thank God for Boll Weevils. I can't even read right. I guess it's Boll Weevils, that's right. So they'll be up coming up here shortly. Excited.
Yeah. A lot of different genres, so it'll be pretty interesting.
Yeah, we decided to do this because, well, we did have a slot open, and we did have the slot open with the intention of filling it with someone, and they never responded. And I wanted to give them enough time, and when they didn't fill it, I decided to try something a little different. I know that in the beginning of January, we had on a publisher, and that was kind of fun and different. So I figured this time, let's have on 7 authors, because normally in the course of our segments, which would be a 3-month period of time, we have on about 9 authors. So now this show, we're actually going to get in 7 authors, and they will be on. They will have 5 minutes to tell you about themselves and their books. And then hopefully maybe sometime in the future, we will be reviewing their book. So that'll be fun to do. And really looking forward to hearing from everybody out there. And I do know that if you are an author and you are trying to get a book out there in the public eye, it's not always an easy thing to do. And once again, it takes a lot of work, as we've said here before in the show, not just being on the Writer's Lounge. It's not going to launch you into stardom, although we have had a couple of our authors who are on their way to that position. And, you know, of course, I keep telling them that it isn't because of the Writer's Lounge, of course. It's because of the work that they do in promoting their books and also getting out and having your book reviewed. I think, from my understanding, Robin, and tell me if you agree or disagree, but my understanding is that getting your book reviewed on all these review sites is probably one of the best things that you can do in order to get your book sold. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. It's up there in you know, there's several different things that are recommended for promotion. And, of course, that's right up there, contacting different blogs and radio shows and things like that. And just, you know, hey, it's free promo. And,
right.
You know, word of mouth, fan word of mouth is the biggest thing. So, of course, yes,
and
this
I should
is
also
the way to do it.
Should also mention, too, and don't mention it enough here in the show, but mm-hmm. just because you're not getting live listeners, like right now, we don't know how many are listening. I'm sure there is a few out there that are listening. But if you go in and look at the listens afterwards, the archive listens after the show is done, and mm-hmm. you can go to, once again, the Writer's Lounge located over at Blog Talk Radio, and you can go and you can look at and listen to any of the 41 shows that will be over there for your enjoyment. So you can just click on any show, listen to it. And then what happens when you do that is I get the numbers of the number of people who have listened. And it's amazing because our numbers are way up there. In fact, a lot of the authors that are on tonight have asked me, what kind of listenership do you have? And they want to know specifically how many people are listening. And I am happy to say that our average number of listens, that would be archive listens, is approximately right around 1,500 every 2 weeks. So after your show has been on the archives for 2 weeks, you will more than likely see a number somewhere in the thousands of people who have listened to the show. Now, when you do come on the show, and these are for all the authors that will be on tonight, go on over to the Blog Talk Radio site and make sure you embed the show into your website. Or I believe there's a link there, too, that you can also embed it into a Facebook. Mm-hmm. And there's ways to do that anyways. Mm-hmm. And get out there and share. That's the only way that you can do it, to get everybody familiar with who you are and what you're selling. I suppose that doesn't sound quite right after talking about a prostitute. But once again, and a little side note here, she is not a prostitute. Of course, she was a high-priced call girl, and she's a wonderful lady now in her 70s. Mm-hmm. And once again, she will be joining us on March 18th. And Robin, got anything to add to that, what I just said?
No, just to reiterate that's free promo, and it's very important because as a traditional writer, self-published writer, doesn't matter. Really, the responsibility has been placed on our shoulders to promote ourselves. We cannot go into this with the expectation that even if we are traditionally published, you know, that they're going to promote you in the way that, you know, I mean, we're not Stephen King, we're not Anne Rice, we're not people, you know, of that caliber. So obviously, you know, we have to do all the pushing, and it's free, and, you know, why not? You know,
right.
Ads are so expensive. There's many, many ways to promote, but I mean, really, I mean, it's such a simple thing. And, you know, you could get like a street team going, you know, that can help promote you, you know, not just your friends and family, but, you know, fan bases build, and then they pass on by word of mouth. Hey, I read this book that I really enjoyed, and on and on. And then also posting reviews, you know, it would be nice if our friends and fans would think about, you know, the time that the effort that we put into writing our book to help us promote, you know, putting a review on our books also helps us. So there's many different ways that not only that we could promote, but for our friends and family and fans to help us.
And I also think that there's a lot of us out there who, mm-hmm. you know, are a little bit frustrated with the process. I was talking to a big supporter of ours and a very successful author right now who wrote the Godling Chronicles. And Brian Anderson had a talk with me the other night in this regard of the frustration and you know, the whole process of getting your book out there. And he's doing very well, but at the same time, you know, he's got a lot of work to do, and he's not only writing but promoting his work. So that's important to realize when you're out there. And we're still in infancy here, folks. This is mm-hmm. all new. You know, you have to understand that the internet, as it were, has only been around for, I would say, I got my first computer in 1999. I think I was just thinking about this the other night. That really wasn't too long ago when you really think about the medium that we are in right now.
There's in common usage was mid-90s. That's right.
Right, and there's a lot more.
It was just yesterday.
There's a lot more changes coming. You think you've seen mm-hmm. it all? You haven't. There's a lot more coming. We're going to have to adjust to it, and the authors are also going to have to adjust to it. So that's important. And with that, Robin, we do have our first guest author on. And I will briefly introduce her. Her name is Aditi Chopra. Hope I pronounced that correct. And she is on with a debut first-time romance novel called Lost in London. And I will bring her on right now. Aditi, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
And I'd like to let you know that I don't mean to rush you or anything like that, but we do have 7 authors on, and we want to get everybody on. So what I'm going to do is, and once again, don't feel rushed, but I'm going to start a timer, and it'll be a cute little song at the end of the time when we're going to bring it to a close here. But if you would, tell us about yourself and your book.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand the timing perspective. So good evening to all the listeners. My name is Aditi Chopra, and I'm an engineer who's worked in the software industry for 20 years. And a year back, I switched to a writing career. And I've written a few nonfiction books on leadership and management. Writing these books was an easy task for me, coming from an engineering background. I have that kind of thinking. But on the other hand, I've always liked to challenge myself. And so in the writing field, I thought writing fiction would be a good challenge for me, which is how I thought of writing my first romance fiction. And to be honest, it truly has been a challenge. The whole journey has been really, really tough. I still remember my first scene when I wrote it and I took it to my critique group. There were 7 people and I had red marks all over my first scene. But I didn't give up. I looked at it from a positive side and said, what if I can't write my first scene, but I have such good critique members who've given me good feedback and I improved on my scene. And in the third go, I really got it right and I'd found my voice.
Very good.
And from there on, I'm sorry?
Very good. Continue, Aditi.
Yeah, and so from there on, the journey became a little easier. And my next hurdle was with the editing portion of when I was done with my book. All the comments I got from the editor, I took them in stride because they helped me improve my story. And here I am with my first contemporary romance novel, which is titled Lost in London. And when I held the book in my hand, it was almost like giving birth. You know, when you hold your baby, the joy, you feel the pain you've gone through, and you are just overjoyed, and I absolutely love my book. So now coming back to the story, it's a contemporary romance. It's a story of a charming consultant named Rahul who finds himself getting attracted to 2 completely different women. And so the story is really his journey of finding and recognizing true love. And I feel when I talk to people, I feel that some people are still finding answers to what is true love, which is where I got the inspiration to write this novel. And I've tried to capture the Indian soul in a very contemporary setting in this book.
Very good.
I published it on Amazon last week. It's available as paperback as well as ebook. And so far the reviews have been really good, so I am pumped up to write more, and would love to hear from more readers what they think about my first romance fiction.
Very good. And Aditi, where can people find you on the internet? Do you have a website?
Yes, I do have a website. It's www.aditichopra.com. And I also have a Facebook fan page. I'm also on Twitter, Google+, LinkedIn, all the social media avenues, Pinterest. And all of that information is available on my website.
Very good. Robin, you got a question or comment?
Oh, well, it's more like a comment. I think it's very nice that Aditi's jumped into the contemporary romance genre, and also bringing that taste of her Indian culture. I live in the New York City area, and there's a lot of Indians in my region, so I have a lot of interaction. And I just think that it's nice because we get to delve a little bit into something that's familiar and modern, and yet it's steeped in that very rich Indian, the traditions and the culture. So I just wanted to say I found that very refreshing and I'm glad to know that you came onto the show and promoted your book. Now there's something I could look forward to, you know, getting into.
Right.
Yeah,
Aditi, thank you so much for being on the Writer's Lounge, and we look forward to hearing more about you in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to submit your book to the Writer's Lounge over at TWL 11. We can always do a review of your book. And once again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, Robin, the next person up here, name is Scott Craig, and he wrote two books called Inhale and The Hoot and Hare. And we will bring Scott on here as long as I get the right button. We have a couple people here that I have to search around for and make sure we hit the right one and don't disconnect somebody like yourself. So here we go. Scott, are you there?
You bet. I'm here. How are you?
How are you doing, Scott?
Hey.
I'm great. Thank you guys for having me.
So tell us about yourself and then tell us about your books.
You bet. My wife and I right now are traveling around the country. We've been pretty much all four corners the last 6 months, so we're kind of homeless. And we run our own business on the Etsy called The Paper Cafe. It's a craft store, basically. And we're going to head back out west here pretty soon and maybe try and settle down a little bit. So.
Okay.
Yeah. As far as the books go, I heard you mention The Hoot and Hare. That was our first review that we put out in the fall. The Journal of Fiction, Poetry, Art, Interviews, and some great writers in this first one. We kind of try and have a mix of new voices with kind of mature voices that have already been out there. You can find that on Amazon and our website, which is hootandhare.com. And as well, I've got three books out. The most recent one is Inhale, which just came out in October. And it's not necessarily a trilogy completion to the first two books, but all three of them are kind of themed. The first one is Cacoethes, which is more about the mentality of all the emotions you go through when you start a relationship, from getting to know somebody, thoughts you have about it, you know, the arcs of the relationship, things blowing up and falling apart. And then the second book is Fautica, which is exactly what it sounds like, and it's more about the physicality and sensuality of a relationship. And then this book that just came out, Inhale, is more about all the other alities in relationships and life that you come across, like reality, dysfunctionality, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so
I'm sorry, Scott.
Are these are nonfiction books, correct?
Well, they're actually collections of flash fiction, poetry, and short stories.
Oh, okay, good.
I decided why not mix all three mediums, you know?
Very good.
They work pretty well together, so. And they're not narratives by any means. There's first person, second person, third person. There's a lot of stories that, especially in Cacoethes, that end and then are broken up and come back later in the book. I try to put some inventive, you know, sentence structure, and I make up a lot of words. So,
right,
it's fun
cool.
to go through.
And you did mention at the top of your segment that you're homeless. Is that correct?
That we're what? I'm sorry?
Did you say you were homeless?
Yeah, we're technically homeless. We've been living out of our cars, just taking stuff with us wherever we go for the last 6 months.
Well, that's a story in itself. They're not homeless.
They're modern-day nomads.
Ah, there you go, Robin.
We're not living in tents or anything.
Yeah.
Right now we're living on the beach on Tybee Island, you know, 3 blocks off the beach. So.
Wow.
It's
hey.
A good time.
Where's that, in California?
No, it's Tybee Island, Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So what, you planning on living in a regular home anytime soon?
Well, we're going to try and get out west and be around family for a while, hopefully in about a couple of months. So.
Okay.
We'd like to stay in one place for a while.
Okay. Well, that's I wish you all the luck in the world. And Scott, where can people find you on the internet?
You bet. My website is mcraig.com.
Try that again, Scott. You broke up.
You bet. It's www.mscottcraig.com.
Okay, great.
And also on Amazon, as usual.
Robin, you got anything for Scott there, the homeless writer? Or the nomad?
Homeless.
The nomad. The,
He's a hippie. I'm picturing dreadlocks and like a psychedelic van. And I don't know. I have like all kinds of wild ideas going through my head right now. But hey,
we had a van.
Yeah, right. No, it's a very interesting lifestyle, and I wish you a lot of luck with your books and just everything that you're doing. I admire people who can go out there and do these sorts of, you know, live fearlessly. So, you know, best wishes from me.
That's right. There's so much to do out there, so, you know,
right.
Everyone should do it.
And Scott, as I said to the last caller, last guest, submit your books to us at twl11@yahoo.com. And we'd like to do a review of it at some point, maybe have you on again.
You bet. We'd be glad to.
Thank you, Scott, so much.
Thank you for your time.
Take care and be careful out there.
All right. Best wishes to y'all. Thanks.
Yep, bye.
You too.
Bye.
Okay, Robin. And I'm waiting for my magical timer here to start singing to me. But that was an interesting little chat. Once again, you just kind of want to keep going here, but... We're kind of doing this time limit thing, and there we go. There's the end of Scott, and now we are going to introduce. Well, the author's name is D.E. Phoenix, and I think he had an agent on. Actually, sent an email to me, so I'm not sure who we're talking to here. Hopefully, we'll be talking to the author. Again, give me a second here while I look for the magic button. That I click on.
This is like speed dating for writers.
It is. It's kind of fun, actually.
Yeah.
Let's bring on, and wait for this thing to queue up here. Let's bring on D.E. Phoenix. Is this you, D.E.?
Yes, it is. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having
good.
Me.
And
oh,
D.E.,
good.
You had a publisher or an agent that emailed me, and if you want to put in kudos to her or him, whoever that was, go ahead and then introduce yourself and your book.
Actually, that was me, but I'll put a kudo to myself.
Okay.
The name of my book is called Revelation of the Fallen, The Blasphemy of Astrea of the Morto. Personally, me by myself, been in the military for 16 years. I'm out of work for the federal government. I've been to a lot of different places, and I'm a big history and religious buff, so they call it.
Mm.
So I've been very interested into how we actually got here and what makes us tick around the whole scope of religion. So I started this journey 20 years ago, figuring out how to get the science to mix in with the history, to mix in with the theology. And so from bits and pieces, I actually messed this book up to be told, and not from the God perspective or man perspective, but from the perspective of one of the fallen or fallen angels, as you may have it. So I think it's very complex and how he breaks things down. And the book just takes off from the end of existence, and then the main character tells you how we got from that end that we entered until how everything played out from the very beginning before the gods, who made how heaven and hell was born, how evil was born, and then how this universe came to be. And then he breaks it down to how the universe started making planets. A lot of the astrophysics goes into it. And then he goes into our solar system, and then briefly into the war in heaven, how Lucifer became to be who he is, and then how he was manipulated by these outside beings. He pretty much breaks it down as, you see, well, everything we see in black and white, good and evil. And he says it's very more diverse than that. It's maybe good and evil, or maybe black and white, but there's always someone that's pulling the strings.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes into great detail about why humans were created, and eventually how Adam and Lilith, the supposedly first wife of Adam, and then eventually Adam and Eve, and their tumultuous relationship, and finally he ends it at the flood. But before he ends up the flood, he shows how these other beings that are around us or manipulating this whole story, and how in so many ways this is such a big dream to us, and it's almost like a book in itself, and when the creator decides to close the book, this story be done forever.
Very good. Very good. And
it
then,
has elements.
And then,
it has elements of... Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, D.
It has elements of Dante's The Inferno and a little of Milton's Paradise Lost. So if you're into those genres of book, you'll probably like this book.
Very good. And then you mentioned in here, I noticed in your promotion, you mentioned science. How does science fit in with religion? I know religion is faith-based pretty much, and we rely on our faith and we believe. But how does science fit into your book?
The science aspect comes from how we see religion sees science as an enemy. Science sees religion as an enemy. Science can change, religion can't. One is based on faith. One is based on doubt. It's based on proving something. So what I had to do is I had to mesh the science in with it. And so you see where you think God created everything in 7 days. To a certain extent, that follows true, but he follows the evolution process of the earth. So what we see as being 7 days is really not a set amount of 7 days. Everything had to evolve in the process. You see snowball earth. You see when earth was in its infancy. You see earth colliding with the moon, which used to be a planet called Theia. So you see all of that science play into the theology aspect. So when you look at the very beginning, you see a lot of science in it, and you see how they, in themselves, these fallen angels, manipulate science. It has a lot of the old religion, the Babylonian Enlil and Enki. It has a lot of Egyptian religion. It has a lot of the Hinduism in it. It goes all around the world, and you see how all these particular beings we think were different gods actually spoke to each other. It has a lot of the ancient astronaut theory in it, if you're familiar with that.
And D.E., where can they find you on the Internet?
You can actually find me on Facebook as author D.E. Phoenix, or you can look for the book. The book has its own page, and from its own page, you can see a lot of excerpts from the book, Revelation of the Fallen, The Blasphemy of Astro Demoto, and you can just take a look at what it says. It's not meant to convert anyone, but it's meant to give you a different perspective of how we view things in life. It's not just black and white.
Right. Okay, D.E., that would be Phoenix. Would be the Phoenix is spelled P-H-O-E-N-I-X. That's D as in David, E as in Edward, Phoenix, and then find him on Facebook. And thank you, D.E., for being on the show today.
Thank you, sir.
Yep, bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, Robin, speed authoring continues, as you call it. I kind of like that idea. That's a really good idea. Next one up is Larry Higdon, and he wrote Storms of Deliverance. It's about, interesting, it's about baseball and the paranormal. And let's bring him on if I click the magic button. And that should bring him on. Larry, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Tell us about yourself and tell us about your book.
Okay. Baseball and the paranormal. That sounds kind of intriguing in itself. But
it does.
The way it fits together. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
The novel is about a character everybody calls Bad News Johnson. Johnson has an alcohol problem, and he has a nasty temper also. All this stems from his bitterness about never having realized his dream of becoming a Major League Baseball player. Now, he has an ex-wife, Katie Nguyen, and a daughter, Zoe. She's an ex-wife because she couldn't take it anymore, and he's pretty much estranged from his daughter also, but he's still in love with his ex-wife, and he wants to get back together, and this novel is about his journey and the traumatic experiences he encounters on the way. Early on, there's a terrible automobile accident that leaves him with a questionable amount of brain trauma. I mention that because that's where the paranormal elements come in. He has develops this rare condition called dissociative amnesia, where he loses 27 years of his memory. So he's back in 1981. He believes he's traveled in time until he finds out what's happened to him. So he has a rare opportunity to see his life from the perspective of someone who's of when he was 21 years old. He can see all the things that he caused that hurt so many people in those 27 years. And he feels a lot of guilt about that and a lot of wanting to not only still get back together with Katie and Zoe, but also to make up for all the thing, all the hurt that he's caused. The paranormal comes in because he believes he's seeing a couple of ghosts. His doctors think they may be just hallucinations, but there's a little girl who has a profound impact on his life. And there's also the other one is a disgusting bum named Gooch, who in his own way also has a strong effect on Johnson. All that's part of Johnson's journey to redeem himself and to become a better person. I hope people will give this novel a chance, because I think it's got a lot of twists and turns in the plot. So often things are not what they seem to be. The ending is not Pollyanna happy, but it's positive. And I think that's all people could ask for in a story like this.
Very, very good. And Larry, what sort of history do you have with writing? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I've been on and off with writing since I was a small child. I've been a storyteller all my life. You know, when I was a small child, I used to take my little sister's stuffed animals and give them names and make up stories and tell them to her and draw cartoon books with stories with those stuffed animals. And I tried my hand at short story writing years ago. Came close to getting published, but never really did. This novel is my first publication.
Very good. Robin, you got anything for Larry?
No, just I found it very interesting, and I wish him a lot of luck in his endeavor with publishing. And just I'm enjoying tonight's show with all the different authors and getting
it's
to
fun.
Know. Yeah.
It's fun. And Larry, I'd like to say that if you'd like to submit that to the Writer's Lounge for consideration for a review, you could do that at twl11@yahoo.com. You do have my email. And we'd love to have you submit it, and we do a review and maybe get you on a future show.
Mm-hmm. Would I need to mail you a copy of the book or just send it?
You can email, or we can get together, and I can give you my my snail mail address. You can send me a copy if you'd like to do that. But tell everybody where they can find you on the Internet.
Okay. I have a Facebook page, facebook.com/larry.higdon.9. There's also the publisher has a website created for me that's www.thestormsofdeliverance.tate.com, and that tells you where you it's available on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. I want to throw in before I get buzzed out that I'm currently working on a sequel to this novel, focusing more on Katie than on Johnson, but all of the main characters are in this second novel also.
Very good. We'll look for you, Larry. Thank you for being on the Writer's Lounge.
Thank you for having me.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Okay, onward we go, Robin. Next up is Eddie Upnick, and excuse me, a little throat irritation here, and let me look for the number for him, and this looks like it would be Eddie Upnick. Eddie, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, tell us about yourself, Eddie, and go with the books you got. You've got three of them up here.
Right. Well, I started out as a writer for comedians back in the 70s. I used to, my most famous was Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh.
That's cool.
Yeah, so working with Rodney was quite entertaining among a dozen other comedians at that time. In the 80s, I wrote sitcoms for various TV shows, and I really had no intention of writing novels. until I met a man named Sidney Dowse in 1995 in Antigua. Sidney Dowse turned out to be an MI6 agent before World War II began. And we were at a Sandals resort, and it took me 3 days to get him to talk to me. When he finally opened up about some of the stories he had about World War II, just completely blew my mind, and I was frantically taking notes because he wouldn't let me use the tape recorder. Mm. And the stories that he told me triggered the writing of Time Will Tell. And two friends that I grew up with who went into Black Ops told me a bunch of stories over the years, and I worked those stories into the second two books. So basically I wrote a trilogy of historical fiction where there are a lot of facts lost in history, particularly in the first book, In Time Will Tell. And the second two books are based in the future, but they are a believable future based on some stories and some possible scenarios.
Very good. I love time travel.
Well, the story that triggered the writing of the book was Sidney was telling me that two men came into British Command headquarters in July of 1939, before the war broke out. And the two men said to Stuart Menzies, who was the head of British intelligence, the head of MI6, "We'd like to improve your radar system by 75 miles, and we'd also like to break the German Enigma codes for you." The Enigma codes were the orders that the German commanders in the field issued. So if the British knew the orders at the same time they were being issued, they'd have a tremendous advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, in 15 minutes, using handheld devices in 1939, these two men broke the Enigma code, handed them the code keys, handed them a list of 19 German agents that were working in MI6, and they were all shot a week later after they were checked out and proved to be German spies. And the story that really triggered this, as one of the men were leaving, he turned in the doorway and Menzies said, "Are you guys German defectors?" And he said, "No, we're not German defectors. We're here to make sure a certain future doesn't happen."
Wow.
And when Sidney said that to me, I got goosebumps and I said, "Well, who do you think these guys were? The time travelers that came back to make sure the Allies won World War II?" And Sidney said, "Well, that's what Menzies thought."
Wow.
Mm.
So that really started my mind and creativity going.
Well, that's really exciting. There, Eddie, and Eddie, once again, I could talk to you probably for another 50 minutes. We don't have the time, but once again, send your ebook to twl11@yahoo.com. We'd be happy to review it and maybe have you on a future show. And Robin, do you have any comments? I know I have a lot of them, but any comments or questions?
I think it's very, very cool that a chance meeting like that can inspire such an interesting topic. And, you know, to go ahead and write something like that is really wild. And I'm just, wow.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
That's a word that comes to my mind. Eddie, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, EddieUpnick, UPNICK.com. It links to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, audiobooks. They're all out on every form you can imagine. So they're actually doing pretty well. So we'll see what happens.
Very good, Eddie. Yeah. Thank you for being on the Writer's Lounge.
Well, thanks for having me, Tom.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Bye for now.
Yeah, that was a wow, Robin. That's very interesting. Time travel is always
I love that kind of stuff.
I would love to to get into that book of his or his trilogy there. Once again, Time Will Tell, Future Tense in 2052 is what he has listed. And then now, as we wait for the time to wind down here, we will bring on the next author. And I'm looking for the area code and phone number, make sure I get the right person here, because we have a few people on our switchboard. And it would be Shawanda Garner, and she wrote Crimson Footprints. There's two books in that series. And Shawanda, is that you? Are you on?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Well, nice to hear your voice, and tell everybody about who you are and more about your books.
First, let me start by saying that I actually write under the pen name Shawanda Pugh. So if you do a search for Shawanda Garner, you won't find anything that I've written.
Okay.
Shawanda Pugh, I've written the Crimson Footprint series, which debuted with Delphine Publications in August of last year. Crimson Footprints is primarily a story of interracial romance. I would say it's set in three acts since there are three parts to it. It takes place in Miami and elsewhere. It's been dubbed a literary romance series for what you would call details outside of what you would normally find inside romance. It doesn't strictly follow all the rules of romance, so a lot of people have begun to call it a literary romance more so than just traditional contemporary romance. There's a lot of imagery and that sort of thing. I really took my time with this one. So just to tell you a little bit about it, the first novel, Crimson Footprints 1, which came out last August, centers around the main character, Dina Hammond, and a guy whom she falls in love with, Takumi Tanaka. The female is biracial. She's black and white, and the male is Japanese-American. They meet in inner city in Miami, and essentially Dina foils him. She foils this carjacking that takes place. He's about to get carjacked by her brother, actually, and she foils that. So there's that impromptu kind of meeting at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to say as an aside that although the story begins in Liberty City in an impoverished part of Miami, it isn't limited there. It isn't doesn't essentially take place, and that's not like a really heavy emphasis of the novel. It's just where it begins because that's her background and it's important for the culmination of the novel and that kind of thing. So put another way, we don't actually spend much time wallowing there. Crimson Footprints is more so like a story of love and invisible barriers and different socioeconomic worlds and that kind of thing. And it's my first baby. It's the first one that came out, and I don't shy away from racial overtones and that kind of thing in it, but I also handle it in a way that a lot of people are calling different. So that's the first book. The second book, Crimson Footprints 2, debuts this week on all e-readers and in print next week, February 26th. And that one picks up where Crimson Footprints left off, and it follows Dina's younger sister, Lizzie, who got a lot of attention from fans and that kind of thing, who wanted to hear a lot more about her because she kind of descends.
I'm sorry. We kind of lost you there, Shawanda. You wanna?
And I'm just chatting away. What? I don't know where I was. I was just talking
about.
You were into the
second book, and
okay, great,
telling
great.
Us a little
okay,
bit
so
about
you didn't,
it.
You didn't lose me too much there.
No.
I was just talking about that it follows Dina's younger sister, who got a lot of attention in the first book because she kind of descends into this world of drugs and madness and that kind of thing. And a lot of readers were really interested to know what happened in her. So we follow her, and she finds this love and redemption in a very unlikely place. So that's where Crimson Footprints 2 picks up. And it's had a really wonderful reception initially. It was even reviewed by USA Today. I've been contacted constantly by fans who have really just taken a liking to it. So I'm really, really grateful for that. As far as me personally, as has been said numerous times already, I've been writing for a very long time informally, as far back as a child. However, my professional writing career began just a few years ago. I began to freelance write. I went to school and got a master's in writing. I actually left law school to do that, much to my parents' delight. Mm-hmm.
Just had an author on that left law school to write. So you're the second one.
Yeah. I just got up and walked out one day, and I went and enrolled in a master's program for writing. So, that was received very well. For fans that would be interested in knowing, just where I draw my inspiration from and where they can find me and that kind of thing, my bookshelf is really all over the place. I'm a big Stephen King fan. I think a lot of my style comes from his kind of bluntness that you find and that kind of thing. I'm a very big Stephen King fan. Amy Tan, Zora Neale Hurston, I'm all over the place. But I think that you see that in the writing as far as taking a bit of what works here and taking a bit of what works there. Amy Tan, how she crosses these cultural boundaries, and Stephen King is just a very cut and dry and shock value kind of thing. And I do a little bit of that. As far as other things I like to read, I like a lot of dystopian fiction and romance done in unconventional ways. Anyone that might be looking to find me can find me on Twitter at Shawanda P. It's spelled like She Wanda, Shewanda P. You can also find me at shawandapugh.com if you want to follow my blog. And you can find me on Facebook by King and Shawanda Pugh.
Thank you, Shawanda, and good luck with your writing. And once again, as I tell everybody here today, if you'd like to submit your book to e-format.
I will do. Thank you.
So thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, and we're up here with the next one. And the next author in our little speed dating authoring. It would be kind of fun to date the authors here.
Speed dating with the authors.
Speed dating with the authors. And it's
without the wine. We need to have some wine.
Yeah, I almost feel like we're playing a dating game here, too. It's just kind of really weird feeling like I'm back in the 60s with Chuck Woolery, I think it was.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, the next one up here is Rhett Barbary. I hope I pronounced that correctly. He wrote a book called Thank God for Boll Weevils. And we will bring him on right now.
Interesting title.
Yes. Rhett, are you there?
I am here.
Well, welcome to the show. You have a very interesting title, and it almost sounds like it could be a comedy, but it's not.
That's exactly right. It's an inspirational southern fiction based on the true events of when the dreaded boll weevil, which is an agricultural pest, decimated the cotton crops across the South in the early 1900s. And anyone that grows up in the South pretty much has at least heard of the pest, but the history kind of been lost over the years. And, you know, if you knew how important cotton was back in those days, it was called the cash crop. And it was the only crop that actually could be sold, could be transported over to England or up north to factories. It put money in the pockets of first the plantation owners and the small farmers, and then of course it just really affected the economy all across the South. And when the little bug came through and started eating up all the cotton, it actually put the South into an economic depression. And can y'all hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're listening.
All right. So what happened was by the time the pest reached southeast central Alabama in 1915, there was a guy that basically said, you know what? Said we've got to do something because everything they've tried to to kill the little pest off has been futile. So he got a group of farmers to start growing peanuts. And the interesting thing about it is there really wasn't a big market for peanuts at that time. You fed them to the livestock, your livestock some. People just ate a handful of peanuts here and there. But, you know, even though peanut butter had it been invented, it wasn't a big thing. And so what happened was it was just totally a God thing that happened when they grew the first crop of peanuts around Enterprise, Alabama. At the same time, about 45 miles away, there was a college professor by the name of George Washington Carver who would get up every morning and go out into the woods to pray. And one morning he asked God what he could best do to help the farmers in his area. And the Lord told him to gather up a handful of peanuts and to take them into his laboratory to see what that could be made out of those peanuts. And George Washington Carver basically locked himself in his laboratory for 6 days. And when he came out, he had 6 new uses for the peanuts. He went on to come up with over 300 uses for the peanuts. And to this very day, you can walk into a grocery store and probably find over 100 of those uses he came up with that are still, being used and sold through grocery stores. So it was what happened there with this venture that they started in Enterprise, and then at the same time George Washington Carver coming up with these uses, it just exploded and gave the South a new cash crop, and it brought the economy back.
Wow.
Oh, and the people were so grateful in the county of Coffee County, Alabama, because they actually became the world's leading producer of peanuts for 3 years, that they erected a monument to the boll weevil. And that was in 1919, and the monument still stands today. And I really feel honored, because how it started out was I was teaching the youth at Talladega Creek Baptist Church on Wednesday nights, and I usually had a lesson prepared, before that Wednesday night. But this particular Wednesday, driving home, I realized that I had failed to do that, and I just said a little prayer while I was driving. And out of all things, what the Lord impressed on me was the story about the boll weevil, which I was familiar with, but I can promise you it was the furthermost thing from my mind. And when I got home, I jumped on the internet, I started doing my research, and I titled the lesson, Thank God for Boll Weevils, because it turned out to be such a huge blessing from an adversity that the South, was facing. Mm-hmm. And when I was putting that lesson together, I also knew that the Lord wanted me to share it in a bigger way. And so it was actually about 4 years later, after a lot of research and just putting off, as we tend to do, I started writing the novel. It took me about a year, and a door was open for me for a publisher, Tiger Iron Press out of Georgia, and I'm grateful that she paid for everything. She had the connections with the distributors where it can go into the stores, and we've been working on trying to increase the popularity of the book. So that's where it stands right now, and it's just an in-depth look at the Southern soul as told through both fictional and historical characters. A lot of inner healing in there that leads up to the climax of a blessing, that the boll weevil eventually became.
Wow. Very good, Rhett. We're kind of out of time here. It's kind of interesting because as I'm looking at your title here, I kept thinking of, are you familiar with John Denver and Thank God I'm a Country Boy?
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before.
you could have retitled that called Thank God I'm a Boll Weevil. So I don't know. That just popped into my head. But anyways,
it's an important story. There's so much that could be taken from it. So
And let me just say this: as far as you can, besides ordering the book through the bookstores and so forth, Amazon, whatever, I have a Facebook page. Thank God for Boll Weevils, and Boll Weevils is BOLLWEEVILS.
Very good. Thank you so much, Rhett. Appreciate it. Good luck with your book. And take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Well, Robin, I thought we'd have time to chit-chat here, but we don't. Next show up is March 4th with Dawn Whidden. And, of course, her book, A Child is Torn. And, I'm sorry, the full title of that is A Child is Torn, Innocence Lost, about a little 10-year-old boy who kills his parents and then goes and plays a video game right after he does it. So it's a very interesting, disturbing tale, but it's one that, like all of our authors, do a very good job of, telling. And it's been great reading all of your books once again and reviewing them. We continue to do that. And, Robin, what do we say here on the Writer's Lounge?
Well, I'll tell you, it's been a great show. And I'd just like to say that, of course, good reading and good writing to everybody. Have a great night.
We'll see you next time around on the Writer's Lounge.
On the Writer's Lounge.
Goodbye.
In the middle of the day, your faith and your fences have been blown away. You're down in the cellar and you've locked yourself in. Ah, but it looks like it's rainbow weather again. again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. Morn. He said, Noah, get ready, for the sky will be torn. Build as I tell you, save what you can. Then wait while the rainbow weather begins. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. Trouble will come, but trouble will go. You're living in fear, but what do you know? You know that the sun's always coming then. You know there'll be rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun peeking. The rain will